promise you, turn me down just a little bit if you don't mind. Not all the way off, but turn me down, okay? I appreciate that. Appreciate your work up there. God bless you. Luke chapter 16 this morning. Luke chapter 16. We've been studying through this book together. We've come to this passage of Scripture that is a very familiar portion of Scripture. It's a message that the Lord has laid on my heart for this hour. Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse number 19. Luke 16, verse 19. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And he says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." I want you to notice the phrases that are repeated more than once in these verses that I've read. It's the phrase "rich man" and the phrase "a beggar." And today I want to preach to you on this subject: two rich beggars. Two rich beggars. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought. Father, we love you today. Pray that you'll help me now as I preach this message. I pray that you'll speak to us from your word. Thank you, Lord, for the music today. Thank you for the praying today, the giving. Thank you for the good testimony from Brother Leroy Shepherd. Thank you for his faithfulness down through the years. Bless this message now, I pray. Thank you for all those, Lord, who have a part in this service. We pray that you'll speak to us thoroughly. In Jesus' name, amen. In this story before us, there are two main characters that are discussed. One is called the rich man, and the other one is called a beggar. His name is Lazarus. And I submit to you that in this story, we see one is rich, that in eternity becomes a beggar, and in the other one in this life is a beggar, but in eternity, he was a rich man. So today, we see that they switch places from this life to the next. Now, this story is found one of the most sobering and serious doctrines within the Word of God. It is the doctrine on a place called hell. Now, I'll be honest, I don't enjoy preaching on hell. But to be true to the Word of God, I must preach on hell. I would be a dishonest, disloyal preacher to God and His Word if I didn't preach on what the Bible so clearly teaches. Now, I want to dig in with you this morning and see what the Lord is saying as we consider a rich man in this life who in reality was very poor and became a beggar in eternity, and a poor man that begged in this life but in reality was a very, very rich man on the other side. Three things I want to give you this morning. First of all, notice a contrast. We see this in verses 19 to 21. I've already read those verses, so for time's sake, I'm not going to do that. I'll be referring back to them. But what I want to do is on this earth, there is these two separate men who on earth were very different. They were contrasted. For instance, let me just talk about the rich man, then I'll show you the beggar. On this earth now, the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar. Number one, under this, we see the rich man, first of all, he was rich. This is brought out in verse number 19. Yet in verse number 20, the contrast to that is the beggar the Bible calls poor. Yet in verse number 19, we see that the rich man was clothed in purple. According to my study, purple was an expensive and splendid portion of clothing. And purple, back in this day when the Lord was telling this story, was worn by princes. The color purple was worn by very wealthy people. It was worn by nobles upon this earth. In other words, the big daddies on campus. Yet in verse number 20, we see instead of this man's clothing being mentioned, we see it says that he just laid at his gate and had to be carried around. Yet we see in verse number 19 that he was also clothed in fine linen. And according to my study, this linen was a much sought after article of luxury. In other words, it was an article of comfort, basically, if you will. It was only worn by those who could afford it. Yet in verse 21, the Bible says the poor man, the beggar, was full of sores. And that word sores there, if you look it up in the original language, what it means is open running wounds. That's what it means. So this man had the attire of rich people, of people who were high class, if you will. He had money to do it, and yet the Word of God says, let me tell you what this man was clothed in. He was clothed in open running wounds and running sores. Verse number 19 says that the rich man fared sumptuously. What that means is that he feasted. It means he lived in a splendid manner. It means that his table was constantly full, and that he had every sensual enjoyment that his heart desired. It's all found in that phrase. In other words, if he wanted, he had it. There was never a time where he had to beg for food. His food was always on his table. His table was always full. Yet in verse 21, the contrast to that is we see that the beggar was simply desiring the crumbs that fell from this rich man's table. It's interesting that the Bible says in verse number 19 that this rich man clothed in purple and fine and fared sumptuously. Notice that it says in verse number 19, every day he did this. Every day. And yet, in contrast, we see in verse 21 that the Bible says the beggar in this world, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, as you can well see, the contrast is obvious between these two men. In this life, they were so different. One had plenty, one had nothing. One had clothes, one had sores. One every day had his table full, the other one just desired crumbs. One had people as his companions, the other ones had a dog as his companion just to lick his running sores. That brings me to my second point. My sermon comes out in point three, so just stay with me, okay? Secondly, we not only see the contrast, but secondly, I see the certainty. We see this in verses 22 and 23. It says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I call these verses the certainty. Now the certainty is this. Verse 22, the beggar died. Verse 22, the rich man also died. The certainty is this, you and I are going to die. Now, friends, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, and I hope I cheat the undertaker. Amen. I hope the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and raptures the church, and I never have to go through physical death. That's what I want for my life. But the certainty is this, God tarries his coming. Everybody in this room, rich, poor, beggars not, you and I are going to die. Now, aren't you glad you came to church this morning? It's a certainty. You cannot cheat it. You cannot get out of it. The only way you're going to get out of it is if King Jesus comes and you are in his family. And I hope that that happens. Don't you, friends? But if he does not come in our lifetime, you will die. Now, I want to look at the two deaths here. And then we'll get to the main thought of the message. In verse number 22, the Bible says the beggar died. And then what happened? The Bible says he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Verse 25 says he was comforted. Let me just say this. May I say that even though he was a beggar in this life, he was begging for crumbs. Dogs were licking his sores every day of his life. He was just living just day to day in reality. This man was not a poor man. This man was not a beggar. He was a beggar in this life who was rich in eternity. And let me say this to you. I would rather beg in this life and be rich over there than be rich here and beg in eternity. And let me say this to you this morning. I'm glad that heaven is not some figment of my imagination. And I'm glad that according to the Word of God, I am going to that city some glorious day.
I'm talking about a city that is a perfect cube. I'm talking about a city that's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long. I'm talking about a street of transparent gold, so pure that you can look through it. I'm talking about seeing things that you have never even thought about. I remember a story that I read about that there's this girl, she was walking with her dad. It's a beautiful night, cloudless sky, and not a cloud in the sky. Apparently, stars were out everywhere. And she was heard to say, "Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is this beautiful, what must the right side look like?" And I'll tell you this morning that if you're saved today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the best is truly yet to come. I mean, there's coming a day when I'm going to be able to sit down with David, sit down with the Apostle Paul, sit down with Timothy, sit down with Silas, sit down with Daniel, sit down with Moses, sit down with all these people of old. But you know, that's so injustice to put it that way, isn't it? There is coming a day when my eyes, not these, my glorified eyes, I will see God. I'm going to see Jesus. You're going to see Jesus if you're saved. You may tell you one way it happens when you die. When you die. Nobody looks forward to dying, I hope. Somebody, "Hey, I look forward to it." Come on, friend, come on. But I'm glad that death for a child of God is only the open gateway into the presence of Almighty God. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that this beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. God sent angels to usher him into his presence. The man who was just laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. The man that nobody would be comfortable getting around. The man that people would walk by and say, ew, look at those sores. That man was a born-again child of God. And when he died, God said, "Angels, come here. Go pick him up and bring him here." Glory, friends. The certainty is the beggar died, but the certainty, secondly, is the rich man also died. We see this in verse 22. Notice what the Bible says. He was buried. That's never said about the beggar. Because, see, back in this day, something the poor beggar did not have mentioned about him was that he was buried. It doesn't say that about the poor man. It doesn't say that about the beggar. But it does say that about the rich man. Could it be that this is because the rich man could pay for a big funeral? Could it be that there was a big deal when this man died because he was so rich on this earth? Yet the Word of God says in verse number 22, it says the rich man also died and was buried in verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. The poor man, the beggar, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man, the very next instant, the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, friends, listen, I didn't say that. God's Word said that. And you know, when I was putting this message together, I have a hard time believing this. But when I put this message together, I found that 67% of Americans believe in hell, but less than 25% believe they will go there. Friends, hell is a real place. This is not a parable. What I mean by that, some people try to, well, that's just a parable. He was just trying to. No, anytime the Lord used specific names and called specific names, he was not talking about a parable. He was talking about a literal event that actually took place. He says a certain rich man. He says Lazarus. He calls Moses' name here. He calls the prophet's name here. So in this, we see that this rich man in Luke chapter 16 is still in hell this morning. I don't say that with joy in my heart. I say that as a warning to folks who are listening here this morning. It's interesting that on earth, there was a great contrast between them. But in eternity, they switch places. And this rich man became a beggar. We'll see that momentarily. But the beggar became a rich man. And I want to ask you, which one are you? The certainty is everybody dies, no matter who you are. And death opens the door to eternity. Where will you spend eternity? His name was Ray. He was in a coma for 4 days. Apparently, he hadn't opened his eyes. He hadn't spoken or anything for 4 days. And according to the story that I found, this man that was out of it for 4 days all of a sudden sat up in his bed, grasped the side of his bed, and stared down at the foot of his bed like he saw something and said, "No, I'm not going. I will not go. No, no, no." And he collapsed back in his bed and died saying those words. You say, "Joe, are you trying to scare me?" If that's what it takes, amen. I don't know what that man saw. Thank God I never will see what that man saw. But that man saw something that the people in the room could not see. And I guarantee you, that man who died, more than likely lost and went to hell, wishes he could come back and make another decision. It is a certainty. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. The key words in that verse are, after this. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Job 30, verse 23, "For I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." You are going to die. That is certain. You could open the newspaper today and there are names in the obituary section. Open it every day this week. More than likely, there'll be names in the obituary section. One of these days, God tearing his coming, it'll be your name. It'll be my name. And if you die as you are you rich? Or are you going to be a beggar? That's the certainty. Number three, let me give you the conversation. There's a conversation that takes place. Begins in verse number 24. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." So he's begging here. "And send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee, I beg thee." There it is. There's where I get the beggar from. You see what I'm saying? "I beg you." He didn't beg in this life, but he's begging now. "I pray thee, Father, thou wouldest send into my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets." I'll explain all this. "Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." That's the conversation. It's interesting to note, when these men died, it was not the end. Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. The rich man is in hell speaking to Abraham. And it's interesting here that God has opened eternity for us. And he let us listen in on a conversation. He's letting us hear it. He's letting us listen in on it. And here's what he's saying. There are five things I want to give you here, okay? When I hear this conversation, I hear five things. And this is the application to the message. Five things as we listen in on this conversation. Number one, I hear a painful cry. We see this in verse 24. Notice what he said. "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame." This man was in constant torment. This man was in constant pain and this man was in constant anguish. He is begging for one drop of water. Look here, please. The rich man said, hey, it's interesting to me. He didn't say, "Pour a cup on my head." He didn't say, give me a spoonful. He didn't say, hey, let me just get a gulp. He didn't say any of that. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Just let him dip it in the tip. I'm just talking about the tip of his finger. Just let him dip it and let him touch my tongue. How much torment is this man in? You say, Jody, I thought a loving God would never send anybody to hell. You're exactly right. A loving God never did send anybody to hell. A loving God sent his only begotten son so you don't have to go to hell. And if you say no to Jesus Christ, it's not God that sends you there. It's your unbelief that sends you there. And if you go, you will have a painful cry coming from your lips too. I told this story. It's been verified. I get Bluntville and Bluff City mixed up, but it happened in one of the two cities here many years ago. Apparently there was a truck wreck that happened. Many have heard me tell this story, but for the sake of those that's never heard it, it happened close to us here. Again, Bluntville, Bluff City, I get them mixed up. This truck wreck, when it happened, the driver had flipped it up on its top, and he was pinned inside the vehicle. He wasn't injured, but he was just pinned. He couldn't get out. They couldn't get to him. So apparently they were just talking to him, trying to keep him alert, I guess, all of this while they were waiting on the equipment to get there to cut him out of the vehicle. But the story that I've been told and that has been verified is that while they were waiting, his truck caught on fire. And it was so hot that it literally began to melt the metal off the truck. Now again, put yourself in his position. He's pinned inside. He can't get out. They can't get to him. That fire is getting closer and closer to him, and they say that his clothes began to burn, then his skin began to burn. And they say while he was alive and alert, he looked at it and he saw a police officer with a gun on his side. And they say from the inside of that truck, while it's engulfed in flames and he's burning alive, that man started crying out, shoot me! Shoot me! I can't stand this pain! Please shoot me! They say the police officer that was there that day turned his face with tears coming down his cheeks. And they all listened as that man's scream turned to a growling whimper, then to a moan, and then silence. You say, why are you telling me that story? I'm telling you that story to say this. That man burned alive for a few minutes. Was begging for God. Begging for some man to shoot him, kill him, put him out of his misery. What's a few minutes compared to eternity? What's a few minutes compared to forever? You say, Jody, what are you doing? I'm telling you, I love you so much, I'm giving it to you straight. If you die without Christ, you will burn forever and ever and ever and ever, but you don't have to. His name was M.F. Rich. Who was he? He was an atheist. Said he didn't believe in God until he was dying. And while he was dying, here's what he said, and I quote, I would rather lie on a stove and broil for 1,000,000 years than to go into eternity with the eternal horrors that hang over my soul. I have given my immortality for gold, and its weight sinks me into an endless, hopeless, helpless hell. That's a man who claimed in his life he didn't even believe in God until the death angel came calling. Second thing I hear is not only hear a painful cry, but secondly, I hear a pressing charge. We hear this in verse 25. Notice what Abraham said. Abraham said, son, what's the next word? Remember. Remember. That is a word that man is probably still dealing with. Remember. Two words that Abraham pressed on him, a pressing charge. Son, remember. You know one of the worst things people have in hell is their memory? Did you hear what I said? The worst thing they have in hell, one of them, is their memory. Let me illustrate. If somebody is here this morning and they die without Christ and they go to hell, this message will torment you for all eternity. You will remember this message and the opportunity you had to trust Christ forever. It's a pressing charge. Third thing I hear a permanent condition. We see this in verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. What is Abraham telling this man? He's saying, those that would come to us from you, it cannot happen. And those that would go from us to you, that will not happen either. Amen, friends. What do you hear? Here's what I hear. Abraham's telling this man, I'm sorry, but your condition is final. It's permanent. There's no escape. When the rich beggar realized all of this, it's interesting what he did. We see this truth, that this eternal state is forever, not just for those that go to hell, but those that go to heaven. It's forever. Listen, if you go to heaven, you're going to be there forever and ever and ever. That can never change. But if you go to hell, it's the same truth. It'll never change. He said there's a great gulf fixed here, and it cannot happen. Matthew 25, 46 calls it everlasting punishment. Hebrews 6, 2 calls it eternal judgment. What he's saying is there will be no escape. It's interesting, this man didn't burn up. There's some teaching going around today, if you will, saying, well, if I go to hell, I'll just burn up in an instant. It's just, I'm gone. Try to prove it with that portion of Scripture, friends. He did not burn up. He has his senses. He can smell. He can taste. He can feel. He can see. He has it all. He has his memory. And he's burning, 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 burning. Curtis Hudson tells a story talking about a permanent condition. He tells a story when he was a boy. He's with Jesus now. But when he was a boy, he heard some horrific screams apparently coming over the radio in the kitchen. And he said, as a boy, he ran into his kitchen. His mother was there, and he said, Mama, is it the end of the world? Is it the end of the world? And she said, no, honey. She said, the Wyckoff Hotel is on fire in downtown Atlanta, and they're broadcasting this live over the radio, and you can hear people screaming. He said there were people jumping out of 10 and 11 floor story buildings or something like that. Said some of their bodies were landing in trees and limbs were protruding through them. Some of them were landing in power wires, being electrocuted to death. He said just all these screams were coming, but he said a scream that he heard coming over the radio, he heard somebody saying, this is hell, this is hell, this is hell. And Dr. Curtis Hudson said, that's not hell, because there's no windows in hell. You die without Christ, you go to hell, it is permanent. I don't say that with love in my heart. I say that with every ounce of my being as a gospel preacher, warning you, don't take your chances. Trust Jesus Christ. Fourth thing I hear is I hear a pleading concern. What did the rich man do once he found out that there was no hope for him? Verse 27, notice what he said. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, because there's no hope for me, I beg you, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. When the rich beggar realized that there was no hope for him, he immediately began to get concerned about his family on earth. And he was pleading for somebody to go tell them. See, those in hell don't want others to come. At least those that they care about. This man was lost without Christ, and as soon as he realized there was nothing he could do, he immediately started thinking about his brothers. And he said, I'm begging you. I am pleading with you. Send somebody to my brothers. You know what challenges me? How many today, maybe somebody in this auditorium, or maybe somebody in your neighborhood, or that you work with, or your family. How many have a great, 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 great granddaddy that they've never met? or a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister who died without Christ and they went to hell. How many people have a relative pleading for somebody to give them the truth? If you're lost today, it is more than likely a guaranteed fact. More than likely, I hope it's not true, but more than likely a guaranteed fact that somewhere in your family lineage, somewhere along the line, somebody in your family's lost and in hell. And if you're lost, they don't want you coming. Along with that, when you knock on doors, you get a bus route going. You get a John Sevier Center going. You get a cancer ministry running. You have a baseball camp and a softball camp. What are we doing? We're trying to take the truth to people and tell them they don't have to go to this place. A pleading concern. Let me ask you this. Are you as concerned about lost people as people in hell are right now? That's convicting. Am I concerned about lost people as much as somebody in the regions of the damned begging for somebody to go tell them the truth this morning? Then a fifth thing I hear is I hear a pointed conclusion. What did Abraham tell him? Look at verse 30. And he said, nay, no, no, Father Abraham. In other words, Abraham said in verse number 29, look at it, they have Moses and the prophets. You know what he's saying? They have the Bible. That's what he's saying. Moses is the first five books of the Bible. He wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. We're in the New Testament in this story. Moses, they have Moses and the prophets. You know what he's saying? They have the Word of God. Let them hear the Word of God. Notice what the rich man said. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went of them from the dead, they will repent. Here's what Abraham said. He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Can I paraphrase what Abraham's saying? Here's the point of conclusion. If they don't believe the Bible, they wouldn't believe a ghost. Amen. If they don't believe what God has said in His Word, because see, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith don't come by a dead man coming back to life, friends. And he's saying this, send Lazarus back, and they will hear him because they know he died. And Abraham, pointed conclusion, if they don't listen to the Bible, they will not listen to Lazarus either. So what am I saying here? I'm saying this. If you do not believe that you are a sinner like the Bible says, if you do not believe that because of your sin you don't deserve heaven, that you deserve hell, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ died for you and your sin, if you don't believe that Jesus rose again from the dead, and if you don't ever call out to God to have mercy on you, not joining a church, not getting wet in a baptistry, but if there's never been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ because you do not believe the Bible, you would not believe the Apostle Paul if he appeared all of a sudden. You say, yes, I would. No, you wouldn't. Because he's going to tell you the same thing I just told you. And I'm telling you this morning, the point of conclusion is, don't think you know more than God. Now let me conclude this. In this story, we have two rich beggars. Lazarus was rich. Right here, he was not rich in this world, but he was rich on the other side. The rich man was not poor in this life, but he became a beggar and poor in eternity. I wonder, are you rich in eternity? The only thing standing between you and eternity is death. I'll tell you a story, and I'm just about done. Again, this is a repeat story for many of you, but I believe it was Tom Farrell who was having a meeting somewhere up north. I think it was him. It was a preacher like him. They tell a story about two young people, a boy and a girl. I don't know if it was a boyfriend, girlfriend, a brother and sister. I don't know all the details there, but it was young people, teenagers apparently. The preacher was preaching a message, and they didn't like it. They started poking fun of him during the service. The young man took a hymnal out and wrote something in it. Gave it to the girl with him. She wrote something in it. They slammed it shut, wrote whatever they wrote, slammed it shut, slammed it down, stormed out the back door. 15 minutes later, they were dead. Car crash. Sudden death. When those two young people died like that, tragically, they got interested to see what they wrote down in that church hymnal where they didn't want to have anything to do with the message. They knew more than God. You see what I'm saying? They didn't want anything to do with him. And they found the page where they had written, and here's what the young man had written: I will take my chances. And the girl said, me too. May I remind you of something that is a powerful portion of Scripture? The clay is in the hand of the potter. And whom he will, he hardeneth, and whom he will, he has mercy. You know what that passage means? It means how many chances you have is up to God, not up to you. It means the clay is his. And if he wants to give you another open door to say yes to him, amen. But if you say no to him, he has every right to slam the door. And for these young people, they took their chances. And God's mercy ran out. So he shut the door. Do you know without a doubt that you are truly born again? If you do, there ought to be something, there ought to be jumping jacks taking place in your heart. Praise God. I'm not going to that place. But if in your heart you say, I don't know, may I say this? It is foolish to leave this place without getting that right. God, help us to see this. And we who are saved, may we consider our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members, and everybody around us. Could that person have a relative in hell that's begging me to give them the gospel? Let's do more for Jesus. Amen. Father, we love you today. I pray you'll bless this thought. Help us this morning to be faithful to you, to trust you, to believe you. And I pray that you will help me to really, really draw the net here. Give me wisdom. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. They're going to begin to play through softly. Just as soon as they get prepared there, they can begin to play through softly. Let me ask you some questions this morning. I appreciate how you've listened so very well. Thank you for being patient with me and listening. But I want to ask you some questions here, if I may. If you died, where would you spend eternity? Are you rich in eternity, or are you a beggar in eternity? Have you truly trusted Jesus Christ? I remind you, I'm not asking you to come join this church. It has nothing to do with it. I'm not asking you to get baptized. It has nothing to do with it. I'm asking you, do you know without a doubt that you're born again? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you said, Jody, I'm glad I'm not relying on my good works. I'm not relying on my church membership. I'm not relying on baptism. I'm not relying on turning over a new leaf. There has been a time in my life where I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. I am born again. It is Jesus and only Jesus with me. I have trusted Him and Him alone as my Savior. There's been a time where I've confessed my sin to Him. I've asked Him to come into my heart to forgive me. I was not playing games. I meant every word of it. I know I'm saved. If you know that, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you. Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that, friends? Amen. Maybe there's somebody here who couldn't raise your hand. I realize you may just be doubting, or maybe you know you're lost. But if you could not raise your hand to that question, and you're concerned that if you died like you are, that you would go to this place called hell, but you don't want to. Now, if there's somebody here that doesn't believe this and just sneers at it, then the Lord's going to have to help you and open your heart and mind. But if you're here today and say, Jody, I'm concerned that if I died, that I'd go straight to hell. I'm concerned about that. I do not want that. I really don't want to go. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not 100% sure I would. If that's you, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. But you say, Jody, pray for me. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I don't know that, but I want to know that. I really, really do. Would you quietly, there at your seat, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else. You say, this is for me. God bless you. Thank you. You put your hand right back down. Put it right back down. Anybody else along with these three? Along with these three. Anybody else? I'd like to ask those three people, just those three people, if you would lift your eyes and look at me just a moment. Would you do that? Because I want to have a conversation with you here, okay? I don't know your heart. I don't know it, but God does, okay? God knows your heart. God knows your heart. He knows your heart. Here's the thing. You have responded to this because God is speaking to you. That is God's grace and God's mercy. You understand that? That's God's grace and God's mercy. God has made salvation to where He does not jam it down your throat. You must choose to accept Him as your Savior. He's given you a free will. You can say yes or you can say no. If you say no, it's hell. If you say yes, it's heaven for all eternity. Now in a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. And I want to invite you to come. I'm going to come down front. We'll have a lady with a lady, a man with a man, a young lady with a young lady, you name it. Don't put it off any longer. You come. Let us help you. Let us help you. I'm going to ask that everybody stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to come down here. And as Brother Gary, as soon as he begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, I want to invite you to come. You see, I'm in the middle of a pew. You're among friends. They'll be more than happy to help you out. Please, don't put it off any longer. Father, bless now, please, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Now's your time. Would you come? I'm coming down to meet you. Come on, come on. Come talk to God. Come on now. Come on now. Come right here. This is between you and the Lord. Help you now. We want to help you. We want to help you. On people, this is just between you and the Lord. There's still time for you. Still time for you. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I know somebody who's lost. I know somebody who is. Would you raise your hand? You know somebody like that? Let this message motivate you. Let the Lord motivate you. But let a message like this motivate you too. This is the place where they're headed. So give them the gospel again. So I've already done it. Do it again. What if they say no? Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. As long as they are alive, God willing, there's an open door. God willing. This is why we go after it with people. No questions asked, you know me. We're dealing with some folks here. We'll be done momentarily, okay? If you're standing, you can look this way. We're just about through. This is Miss Carol Dunn here. I'm going to ask her and Miss Charlotte to stand if you don't mind. Miss Carol's been coming for couple of years. She's been saved. She knows the Lord is her Savior. She's been scripturally baptized, and she's prayed about it, and she believes the Lord would want her to join this church. We're thrilled to have you. God bless you. Welcome. Of course, you've already been here, but welcome to the membership. And what's the pleasure of the church in this? Could I get a motion that we receive her upon her profession of faith and all of this? Is she joining by statement? Is that how she's joining? She's joining by statement. Could I get a motion, Brother Scott? Could I get a second, please? Brother Neil, okay. All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. Very good. So Carrie, we're dealing with one here about salvation. I like it when I have to close services like this, because we're dealing with a precious soul. I don't want them to feel any pressure at all. So we're going to close in prayer. Let me remind you, everybody here tonight, if you've not received, I'm talking about one per family, receive a copy of our music CD. If you have trouble sleeping, you want to get a copy of it, because it'll put you right to sleep, okay? All those kind of things. I appreciate you being here. I'm going to ask Brother Ron Smith, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us. And as he says amen, if you'll be as quiet as you can and fellowship out in the lobby and outside, so we can give this gentleman here some time, okay? God bless you. Thank you for coming.